A quorum has been established. We will go on to item number one.
From the Shelter Task Force, presenting a report titled Substantial Funding Cuts to Emergency Shelter and Housing Services Threaten to Cripple Services to Milwaukee's Homeless. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay, good morning. Are the people who are going to be presenting this present?
Yes, we are.
All right, come on up to the table. Wanted to make sure I saw a lot of familiar faces as I was coming in the building, still standing in line. So please feel free to pull up more chairs. Martin, you want to pull that chair over to the table? All right. Right. If you guys want to sit in the front row, and then whoever's going to be speaking first can sit in the chairs, and then you can jump up as you're needed.
Madam Chair, I believe there's only one presentation. We're going to be standing in support.
Oh, all right. Okay, very good. Go ahead. Please speak in the microphone. It actually does work, and it helps us broadcast, and you're being podcast live. So if you do speak, if you could, please introduce yourself, give your name and your title for the people who are listening.
Members of the committee, good morning, and thank you for having us on today's agenda. My name is Tim Bach. I work for Pathfinders in Milwaukee. We're an agency that specializes in serving runaway and homeless youth and young adults in Milwaukee and have done so for over 40 years. I was privileged in February of this year to be elected chair of the Shelter Task Force, which is a broad coalition of local service providers who provide front and emergency homelessness prevention, rapid rehousing, emergency shelter, and transitional housing services for some of our community's most vulnerable citizens, namely those who are homeless or at high risk of homelessness. We appreciate the opportunity to address the committee this morning to make you aware of what we believe to be a growing crisis here in Milwaukee, and that is the number of homeless individuals in our community is growing at the same time that the resources that are desperately needed to fund the services available to the homeless are shrinking or decreasing. And this is coming at a particularly vulnerable time for us as a community. The county board, the city of Milwaukee, and local stakeholders several years ago adopted a 10-year plan to end homelessness here in Milwaukee. And I know, Peggy, you've been actively involved in those efforts. You've attended our annual planning days. And I know you've participated in our street counts to try to get a better understanding of the extent of homelessness here in our community. Our most recent count was completed in July. That data is still being analyzed. But prior to that, in January, there was a street count done which identified roughly 1,500 people on the streets or in emergency shelters on that given night at the end of January of 2013. By all accounts, that is a severe underestimate as to the true extent of homelessness in our community. There are many, many more people who are not reached through that one 24-hour period of trying to count the number of homeless or the number of those in shelters on that given night. I think conservatively we can estimate at least to double that number, or over 3,000 individuals on any given night here in Milwaukee are homeless or in need of emergency shelter, many of which, and an increasing number of which, are unable to receive that service. Data to 211 is showing similar trends in the last 5 years. Between 2007 and 2012, we've seen an increase of over almost 95% in the number of calls for people seeking emergency shelter who are in a housing crisis and are increasingly finding that there aren't the resources available to meet those needs. Over the last few years, our community has made substantial strides and gains in our efforts to address the needs of the homeless and to work toward preventing homelessness wherever possible or ending homelessness whenever we're able to. That was largely due because of the stimulus funding that we were able to receive here in Milwaukee. With the ending of that funding, we had a strong plan in place to continue our efforts and to advance our gains regarding rapid rehousing and homelessness prevention, as well as emergency resources. In the last few months, we have learned here in Milwaukee that nearly $600,000 of federal funding has been cut, primarily from emergency shelter and front-end services. So as we see the numbers of homeless people increasing, As we see the need growing, we're also seeing the resources diminishing. And that's coming at a particularly vulnerable time for us in Milwaukee as we attempt to strategize and position ourselves for what we know will be a very difficult period come winter here in Milwaukee. Members of the Shelter Task Force are here to symbolize our solidarity and our collaboration in working together to try to address this issue. I think it's important for committee members to know we have been meeting with city officials, with the county exec, and with the philanthropic community in an effort to bring all parties together to try to find a common solution and reprieve for the current situation and the growing crisis. Our great fear is that as the funding cuts continue, those front-end services that homeless individuals rely on to keep them off the streets are those very services that are now being scaled back or eliminated completely. Unlike many other communities, our shelter system is robust in terms of its emphasis on services. Most of our shelters provide key case management support, assistance with employment and education, meeting basic needs, and moving people as quickly as possible out of shelter and into supportive permanent housing or transitional housing, whatever is most appropriate for that individual's or their family's situation. As those supportive services are scaled back, we are increasingly confronted with having a shelter system that operates essentially as an overflow system that simply is able to get people, in many cases but not all, off the streets for a given night, simply to return them back to the streets in the morning because the services that are there to support them are on the decline. That's an unconscionable and an untenable situation for our community and for a system that has strived for decades to work to end homelessness wherever possible. So we wanted to bring this matter to your attention to emphasize the crisis, to address any questions that committee members may have. The impact varies across organizations in terms of the efforts that they've been trying to make to accommodate, and that's an awful word to use, but it's a word I'll use anyway, trying to accommodate these dramatic funding cuts. Certainly members of the Shelter Task Force can also share their experiences and what their individual organizations are encountering as we try to find a common solution to the current crisis.
Thank you. I've got Supervisor Mayo, Supervisor Stemper, and then Supervisor Wyshon. In that order, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at your funding cuts. Is the funding cuts coming from block grant, FEMA, and I do not know what is ESG.
ESG is Federal Emergency Solutions Grant Funding. It used to be called Emergency Shelter Grant Funds up until several years ago. At the federal level, these are administered through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. It's now called Emergency Solutions Grant Funding because they wanted to broaden the focus beyond emergency shelter and include homelessness prevention and rapid rehousing initiatives, which under the stimulus funds proved to be highly effective with some populations of homeless individuals. Because of the funding cuts that are being implemented through HUD, the ESG category funds was one in particular that received substantial cuts well beyond what sequestration had generally indicated to us would be the level of that funding cut.
Is that funded through the state to you, or is it through?
There are federal HUD ESG funds administered by both the state and by the City of Milwaukee through the Community Development Grants Administration, and both pools of funding have been cut.
You're getting funding from Milwaukee County?
We have core shelter funding through Milwaukee County. That funding has
core shelter.
Primarily the adult and family shelters receive shelter grants through Milwaukee County funds. That funding has been level funding for at least the last decade or so.
How much was it?
I don't know the exact amount, members.
Is Alex here? Okay. Do you want to go see if Alex is out in the hallway?
And so where do you get the 211 refer people to you?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And then you had said approximately 3,100 people daily in the homeless, or is that on the streets or what?
Those are individuals who are either on the streets because there are no available resources or in emergency shelter on that given night. So we estimate that that's probably a better reflection of the extent of homelessness based on our January 2013 point-in-time surveying.
Okay. And given this presentation to the Milwaukee County Board, what are you looking to get from this?
Our best hope is that there is a strong commitment to come together along with the City of Milwaukee and philanthropic partners like United Way to have a conversation about, are there ways that each of those stakeholders can identify resources or opportunities to try to alleviate the immediate funding crisis, but also lay the foundation for 2014 and beyond.
Thank you.
It looked like Joel Volk knew the answer.
About $500,000 in core funding through Milwaukee County.
All right. Thank you very much. Supervisor Meehl?
I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Supervisor Stemper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a few questions. I'd like to know what organizations you represent and annually how many. Okay, well, I can just speak. And annually, how many homeless you serve? Just a quick number. So, for example, you're with Pathfinders, right? How many homeless people do you serve a year?
Our emergency shelter serves about 200 to 225 youth in shelter care annually, with an additional 150 to 200 in non-residential homelessness prevention resource services. Our drop-in center serves between 500 and 600 additional youth and young adults, and that really operates as a day shelter here in Milwaukee.
House in Milwaukee, we serve about 150 adults and another 60 families.
Salvation Army, we serve approximately 2,400 adults and children in a homeless shelter a year.
I'm Andre, also from Walker's Point, the Family Center. We house about 200, prosecuting house 200 youth in emergency shelter, transitional housing, and about 250 youth in non-residential services.
Which agency are you with?
Walker's Point.
Okay. Where are you located?
Sorry.
Where are you located?
Off of National Avenue.
Oh, okay. Southside. Okay. Okay. I'll see you right there. Okay. Thank you.
Colleen Carpenter from Daystar. We're now an emergency shelter for transitional housing for older victims of domestic violence. So we get our referrals from the shelter system. We serve about 25 women a year.
Martha Johnson, the YWCA, and we have transitional housing programs.
Good morning, I'm Mark Thomas. I'm with the Sojourner Family Peace Center, and we also have a shelter, a 44-bed shelter on the west side, and throughout our entire agency, we serve over 7,000 individual children, women, and men that are victims of domestic violence.
Thank you.
Yes. The community advocate service serves too, so we serve domestic violence and homelessness, mm-hmm. So the 25 beds serve 236 people, and then the 50 beds serve 468 people.
Thank you. And I was reading in this report that you may be waiting on an allocation of $200,000.
That's correct.
What are you looking to signal that? When will you know? And what are you preparing for?
That funding is specifically directed through FEMA. And their traditional support of both emergency food and emergency housing programs across the country. We have received no indication as to whether that funding will even continue to exist within the Department of Homeland Security funding under FEMA in the current year. Emergency food providers, particularly the Hunger Task Force, has also not received any clarification or information as to whether that funding will even exist into the current year.
Have you been receiving it in previous years?
We've received it for many, many years, yes.
So is it safe to say that the $585,000 in addition to the $200,000 is a total possible cut? So a total of $700,000 cut?
Our best understanding is these cuts will be permanent.
But what I'm saying is that for this year, is it a possible $785,000 cut to your agencies?
Yes, that's likely going to be the scenario.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I had another. Oh, you know the name of the services that you were naming earlier? Mm-hmm. Were those frontline? Is that where frontline services are?
Yes.
Okay. And have you been receiving cuts in the previous years? You know, at a substantial rate as this, or just in general?
This is probably the single most dramatic level of funding cuts that we've experienced in quite some time. Emergency shelter and housing resources have always been somewhat tenuous. It fluctuates from year to year, so this is certainly not the first time we've had funding cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly with the ending of the stimulus funding, that was an anticipating sunsetting of those funds, so we knew we had a limited 3-year window of opportunity to utilize those funds. It's not that we don't generally have to address sort of funding shortfalls or funding cuts. This is a difficult line of business to be in,
mm-hmm.
frankly. This is, though, cumulatively and collectively the largest amount in quite some time that we have not been able to anticipate and have had to struggle to try to accommodate.
Okay. All right. Madam Chair, I'm going to move and place this on file, but I know other supervisors had questions. Supervisor Mayo presented a good question. Have you guys come before us in the past? Did you guys come last year? Because I don't remember.
No, we
did
not.
This task force last year.
No, we did not.
So there was no desire last year, or you were okay last year?
We were okay enough
last year. Okay enough, right? Okay. So you want us to, of course, listen to your concerns, but as a county board. And you said there's a coalition with the city officials and state officials. Are you looking to request resources, or what, money, right?
Absolutely.
Money? Okay. Mm-hmm. If you have frontline services and you have homeland prevention services, and then you have rapid rehousing program services, how would you prioritize those three different services as a number one need, and then that number one need, how much would that be? These are the three main ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frontline, homeless, prevention, and then rapid rehousing.
I am hard-pressed to prioritize one over the other.
I think
all three are really important, and the importance varies on the individual circumstances. I think as a community, we understand that if we can prevent homelessness, that is always best for mm-hmm. our community and for the individuals involved. Keep them safely in the community, in housing, and bring the resources to them so that they can maintain their housing. In some situations, a homeless prevention is no longer a viable option. For those individuals that can succeed in rapid rehousing, that's always a preferable model to emergency shelters. Mm-hmm. But the reality is rapid rehousing doesn't work as well for some populations as others because it's just more challenging. Families, for example, are much harder because of the number of individuals involved to move them into rapid rehousing and keep them out of the emergency shelter services just given the lack of affordable housing. So for some individuals, emergency shelter is the best recourse, and it is the safest recourse to get them off the streets and get their lives out of danger. So I would be hard-pressed to say we would choose one over the other. I think all of them are critically important. I think in terms of what is the need, the nearly 600,000 that has been cut, if that were somehow to be able to be restored, that is only helping us hold ground and not lose any further ground. It doesn't advance our efforts in terms of what we know we need to do, given that the number of homeless are increasing in our community.
Okay.
So,
and you said our core funding provides
$500,000? We're losing almost $600,000 in that core funding.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought somebody said that Milwaukee County provides
$500,000.
We do. Yeah. Milwaukee County does provide $500,000 in current
that
funding.
We're cutting. It's the federal.
Yeah, I know that. Somebody just reported $500,000. Okay. Does the city provide any funding for homeless shelters?
Yes, they do.
And you guys already presented to them?
Absolutely. The city of Milwaukee in January became the lead agency for our Milwaukee County Continuum of Care efforts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're certainly well engaged, and they administer through the Community Development Grants Administration considerable amounts of both HUD Emergency Solutions Grant Fund as well as the Supportive Housing Program funds.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have a motion to receive and place on file from Supervisor Stemper. What that will do is that ensure that the entire county board receives this report. Supervisor Weishaupt, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you speak a little bit? You talked about the increasing population, but the demographic of that population, is it young people, families, children? What people with other issues, whether it be some type of addiction problem or mental health problem?
Sure.
What's the increase we're seeing?
There were two populations in particular that, as of the January point in time, we saw actual increases in the number of homeless, and those were individuals who, under HUD's definition, are considered chronically homeless. Those are individuals who have had repeated episodes over a defined period of time of homelessness, and those are individuals who also take a high proportion of the available resources given the chronic nature of their homelessness. So we saw an increase that was documented in the point in time in that population of homeless. And then we also saw an increase in the population of homeless individuals with more significant or persistent mental health problems. And that's certainly something we are well aware of, the intersection between homeless services and Milwaukee County's behavioral health and its efforts through redesign. And so we're working closely to try to improve that intersection between those multiple systems. Beyond what the point in time was able to document, we're certainly aware that it seems, based on what the programs are experiencing, that homeless families are on the increase. Youth and young adult homelessness is on the increase as well.
You mentioned earlier that you met with the county exec, and what was the reason for that, or what was the conversation?
The reason was very much the same as the reason for our being here today, and that was to make him aware of what's happening in our community, to ask for the county's support and partnership on this issue, and to just make sure that he was fully informed as to just how extensive the issue of homelessness is in our community. We do that not only just at the county level or the city level, but across our community, because we recognize, and this is not unique to Milwaukee in particular, but it's certainly true in our community, homelessness is often an invisible problem. It's one that many people are unaware of exists or are not fully aware of the extent to which it exists and how many individuals are affected by it. And that's a challenge for us. It's hard to galvanize the amount of community and political will when people don't understand that a problem is even in our midst. And so part of our effort with the county exec was to make sure he was fully informed as to the same information regarding the extent of homelessness but also the impact of the funding cuts.
That's good. Just so you understand, he's just one individual. My impression is that he has a certain level of callousness towards all of this and distance, and that if you really want to get something done, at the end of the day, it's the county board that votes on the funding and the budget. And I think those of us who have a much different life experience and understand a lot more closely the conditions of the people that you work with, that you'll find a more understanding view here on the county board, and I appreciate you taking the time to come down here.
Thank you.
But, I think it begins and starts with the county board. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Bowen.
I'm at Bowen.
All right, thank you. He is going to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is good information. One of the issues when you don't have enough resources to support such a great cause that impacts so many people. I do have a question about the $500,000 in federal core funding and looking at your information of the number of agencies that receive, I guess, funding from different levels. Is it safe to say that all the organizations represented today and in this report received a part of that $500,000?
Yes, for the most. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm saying.
The transitional housing programs are generally not part of that core federal funding.
Okay, it's so some of the agencies just do transitional housing, and it's not a part of that type of funding. Okay. And then the other question I had was you mentioned the state getting a reduction or either giving a reduction in their funding. Is this funding that was redirected, or is this funding at the state that was restricted from the federal government?
My understanding is most of the restrictions have originated at the federal level, and then how the local municipalities have attempted to accommodate those cuts can vary. For example, at the federal level, the amount of funding that was cut for ESG, the Emergency Solutions Grant, was much higher than we were led to anticipate based on sequestration cuts. And that was because of a decision at HUD to redirect some of the cuts that were anticipated through the supportive housing program and actually redistribute them toward emergency solution grants funds. And that was unprecedented and unbeknownst to any of us. And that's not just for Milwaukee, that was across the country. So the amount of funding that was cut was disproportionately high because of a decision that was made at the federal level. Once those decisions are made, they translate to the local municipality in terms of how then they have to implement those cuts.
And one more follow-up. I believe you mentioned the city. Well, I guess two more questions. So I'll stay on the state first. I know that the state just completed their biannual budget for the 2014-15 year. Did you know about these cuts before the state got into deliberations of making their budget, and was there a plea to the state to maybe redirect funds there as well?
It has been a challenge for us to get a firm understanding of the cuts, as they've been incremental, and they came late. One of the earlier issues as a community we were struggling with was because of the uncertainty of funding at the federal level, there were significant contract delays, and so we were already struggling with cash flow issues as individual organizations. It's only been in the last 2 to 3 months that we've gotten any clarity or confirmation as to just the exact amount of funding cuts at from these various different federal resources. Again, most of them do come from HUD, but as we talked about, some of them are also coming through Department of Homeland Security and the FEMA grants. We're not exactly certain that those cuts are now done as sequestration continues to roll out and federal contracts go through their own renewal. We anticipate there may be some additional cuts that we are not yet made aware of. In terms of the state, I mean, the state in this regard is also the administrator of federal funds. So their contracting began with their allocation of federal ESG funds began as of July 1st. Like many other contracts, those have also been delayed as they've waited for clarification at the federal level as to how much funding was going to be cut.
Okay. Will there be a plea to the state to fund the homeless resources as well?
Well, I think certainly as a community, we need to strategize as to how to approach the state with, for example, state shelter subsidy grants. Which are another core resource for many of the adult shelter providers here in our community and across the state. In my own opinion, the state hasn't always been particularly responsive to issues of homelessness, but that doesn't mean we will not try to strategize on efforts to communicate with the state as well, because that partnership is equally as important to us locally.
Gotcha. And last question, Madam Chair. I just have a question about the local or maybe even national philanthropy community. Are they paying attention to this issue, and are they receptive to investing dollars into homelessness resources or homeless prevention resources, I should say?
Let me make two comments, and I hope they don't sound necessarily contradictory. I think historically the philanthropic community, including United Way, have been strong supporters of core emergency services and basic needs resources in our community. Having said that, I think some of the philanthropic community, particularly some of the local foundations, in the last year or so have really shifted their priority and their emphasis in terms of where they're wanting to invest their private dollars, and have moved away from basic needs as one of their core elements of priority, and moved into other areas of priority. And that's not universally true. There are still some members of the philanthropic community that still have basic needs as a primary focus and priority. But we are concerned that we've seen some foundations in particular that are no longer accepting applications from us, because we do focus on basic needs, because they've shifted their priorities. And so those resources that had been more readily available up until even in the last year or so, we're seeing a shift, and that's troubling to us. We understand sort of the need to also focus on other community priorities, but it's coming at a particularly difficult time for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Bowen. Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Which one of your agencies deal with men? Because most of y'all deal with females, and because ironic I didn't that you're here today in October, I will give you a call since you're the chair. I'm doing a sleep out in one of my parks on October 28th about bringing awareness of homelessness about men and females.
Okay.
So I'm going to be homeless one day, just to be out there. So I need to talk to you. I'm glad you came today.
Call me.
But they got to realize also there's a lot of chronic, about, you didn't talk about veterans. I know there's a vet place, and we have a center on homeless shelter with veterans on Center Street. I think it's still there. That Milwaukee County actually started in 1996 because I helped through block grant. Mm-hmm. So, but you got to be aware there's a chronic need of veterans that are coming back to the Milwaukee area that's homeless too. Mm-hmm. And so I just was curious. Yeah.
Absolutely. We work closely with the VA and Center for Veteran Services. They're members of the continuum of care. They're also members of some of the work groups that are really focused on targeted strategies for specific populations. Ending homelessness among vets is a high priority, both locally and nationally. And so as we look at each of these populations and their particular needs, we work very carefully together to try to make sure that we've got integrated systems. In terms of services for homeless men, Guest House in Milwaukee is one of the primary resources for single men, as is the Rescue Mission here in Milwaukee. Both of which are members of the Shelter Task Force and the Continuum of Care.
Sounds wonderful. I would also encourage my colleagues to, I have participated in two now point-in-time surveys, and when you talk about eye-opening, it's very eye-opening. You actually go to the shelters where these gentlemen eat, and I say gentlemen because most of the, well, I was across the street at St. Ben's both times, so it was mostly gentlemen. But you learn a tremendous amount. And also, since the subject is before us, we have Project Homeless Connect, which is coming up in October. And I would strongly encourage all of not only my committee members, but county board members and county board staff to participate in that as well. Because what you do there is you are actually partnered up with someone who is homeless. And I volunteer, and I think it's my fourth or fifth year. And you spend the day with them, and you go around and you talk to them about what their issues are, and then it's just a tremendous resource. But they have a clothing shelter or a clothing bank, and they have a resource area, and you can help them get their IDs. But almost every time that I have an instance to assist someone who's homeless, they're veterans. The first year of Homeless Connect, I was paired up with a veteran, and then during the point-in-time survey last year, there was several gentlemen that I talked to that were homeless, that were veterans, and unaware of the fact that they were supposed to be or could be receiving some type of assistance from the Veterans Administration. So those are the easy ones, because then you get them hooked up, and then they're pretty well taken care of. So.
And it's
only I want to encourage my committee members to do that. And if you're interested, you can contact Joel Volk at Community Advocates, because he They are very involved in the Project Homeless Connect.
And we'll be sure to get all the board members' information on Homeless Connect.
Wonderful.
That's coming up in just a few weeks at Marquette University.
Yes.
So we'll get that information to you.
All right. Great. If there's nothing further from the committee, I want to thank you very much for sharing this information with us and bringing us to our attention. We very much appreciate it.
Again, thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. And Supervisor Stemper did request that when and if you get information on the $200,000 that may be coming down from the federal level, that you let us know as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Okay. We do have a motion to receive and place on file. Madam Clerk, on that motion, please call the roll.
Stamper.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Weishaun.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place this item on file is approved.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming down today.
Yes.